views expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
God is the solution. God is the 12-step.
I like where he's going here.
Helps the community grow, helps us grow. Bonnie has done a phenomenal job. And you're talking about taking people through a spiritual process, getting them into recovery.
Thanks, Monty, and thanks for all your support.
We need spirituality to make this thing work long-term.
It's an absolute pleasure. He certainly knows a lot of people.
This is one of the places that is about the business of the solution.
And now, broadcasting on location somewhere in the vast expanse of the Pacific Northwest, it's the over-opinionated 12-stepologist, the Monty Man.
Yes, indeed. Well, greetings one and all, and welcome aboard to another episode. Yeah, adjust my little volume thingy here a little bit. Bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with me. With me.
Bear with me.
Roger McDermott is with us. There's Roger. Hey, Roger.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show. I'm a little sleep drunk. I guess that's what you call it when you get a little silly because you're so tired, you know. And I'm just kind of wiped out tired, but it's a really good tired because I just got back from an amazing retreat. We're going to be talking more about that here in the future. The Came to Believe Recovery.org. I always add that because I want you to go to their website. Organization put on a phenomenal 3-day workshop. / retreat at City Team up in Portland, Oregon. City Team is a homeless shelter and residential program up there, and it was well received, and it was amazing. It's amazing, my friends, how simplistic the 12-step process really is when you pay attention. Pay attention, everyone. Roger, you've been through the retreat. I just finished up with a good taste of it myself. I'm excited about going through it in a little different setting in a few months, probably on the coast of Malibu or something like that. But these guys are amazing. So please go to came to believe recovery.org. See, I told you I'm a little bit off today. And check them out. More about them later. All right. So I don't know if you've seen this, if you're watching on YouTube, have you seen this, Roger? Have you seen what they've done to the McDonald's logo?
They turned it upside down?
Yeah. And it did you notice the lettering? It says Whack Donald's. Whack Donald's.
What is that?
So evidently, and I haven't really done a lot of research on this, but evidently, I don't know, Roger, do you remember the cartoon Clutch Cargo? Remember that?
Of course. I do.
Yeah. Now some people they're going, never heard of that, right? It was actually the style of artwork was what today would be considered maybe anime, what they call anime. Speed Racer was another one that was kind of anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's another form of art called manga. And it's Japanese. It's Japanese art in cartoons. Well, something's going on with the Japanese culture and McDonald's joining up with anime and manga art. And for whatever reason, they have, for the next few months, they've turned the arches upside down. An American institution, they've turned it upside down. And they've called it Whack Donald's. And I'm just wondering if McDonald's has gone whacked. They got whacked.
I would say clearly from what they put on their their logo, that's Whack Donald. That's whack.
Yeah. And they've got whack nuggets, whack fries. Oh, yeah.
When did this happen?
I don't know. It was like overnight. It was like, what is going on? So I don't know the whole story behind it. I was starting to read the articles this morning on it, and I ran out of time preparing for the show. But if anybody out there knows why in the world they would do this, oh, well, are we that bored, folks? Oh, my goodness sakes.
Excuse me, Monty. Uh-oh. Excuse me. I want to make sure that you don't forget about the stupid is as stupid does news that you have for us today. So go ahead, Monty Man. Go ahead with the stupid is as stupid does news.
That's right, friends. It's time for Take 12 Recovery Radio's Stupid Is As Stupid Does News. Brought to you by WackDonald's.
WackDonald's, yes.
Hot Pockets, baby. Hot Pockets. The ultimate processed food item. recently, police were dispatched to a Wells Fargo bank in the southeastern portion of San Diego, California, after a burglary alarm sounded. However, this was not your typical burglary. Rather than someone looking for cash, the alarm company told police that surveillance cameras inside the bank captured a man inside a break room using a microwave. When police arrived at the scene, they found a broken window near the bank's drive-through ATM. At that time, the security company was able to confirm that the suspect was still inside. So officers drew their guns and used a megaphone to tell the man inside to surrender and come out with his hands up. They then warned the suspect that a canine would be sent in if he did not surrender. After getting no response, the officers knocked the bank's front door down and sent in a canine dog before entering the building to retrieve the suspect. Moments later, officers were seen walking the man out of the bank, holding his hands behind his back. The unidentified man later told them that he had broken into the bank to use the microwave and eat two Hot Pockets while inside. When the man was asked if the Hot Pockets were worth it, he responded, "Heck yeah, it was worth it." What? You know,
wow.
So my question is, he already had the Hot Pockets. I mean, you don't have Hot Pockets at a bank, right? So he must have had them already, and he wants to eat them hot. How can you fault the guy? He just wants to eat them hot.
Monty, you can walk into a 7-Eleven or a Circle K. They have microwaves. You don't have to break down the door and get arrested.
Oh, give the guy a break, Roger.
Oh, stupid is as stupid does.
Absolutely. Number two. The car full of bull. I actually saw the video on this. This was great. Officers in Norfolk, Nebraska were dispatched on a call for a vehicle with a cow inside rolling through town. Here's more. While police assumed the bovine passenger would be a small calf that would actually fit inside the vehicle, what they discovered was anything but small. Officers located Lee Myers, here's a name for you, riding down U.S. 257 with his enormous 2,200-pound half-longhorn, half-Watusi African bull. Have you ever seen one of these things? They're huge.
They're huge.
Riding shotgun in a 1996 Ford Crown Victoria. The car's roof on the passenger side had been removed so the animal could fit. And there was a yellow barrier on the side of the vehicle to keep the bull inside. The bull, whose name is Howdy Doody, is a regular attraction of parades and fairs throughout the state. And the two were actually on their way to another small town parade when they were stopped in Norfolk. Police Captain Chad Ryman stated that despite the citable issues with the situation, the officer wrote Myers some warnings and asked him to take Howdy Doody back home. You should have seen this video. It was great. It was like, you wonder how come the car didn't go like that.
It weighs almost as much as the car, or maybe more.
Yeah, you gotta love your cow.
I've never heard of a trailer.
I can't handle it. Okay, this segment of Stupid Is and Stupid News was brought to you by... was brought to you by and sponsored by Dr. Alan Berger, author of 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety. Are you stuck? Is your cow stuck in your car? Are you stuck in your recovery? Oh my God! Oh, gee, Willikers.
Willikers.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. This is an amazing book. It really is. Please check it out. You can get an autographed copy of it by going to abphd.com. If you are feeling stuck in your recovery, it's an absolute necessity to get this book and put it in your library. I was going to say in your portfolio. I don't know what's wrong with me today. You can also get it on Amazon, by the way. Okay, there we go. Yeah. So the studio, before we go to our short break, the studio was filled. Every mic was taken up. Every headphone, actually extra headphones, were taken up on Friday morning by the CameToBelieveRecovery.org. CameToBelieveRecovery.org. Folks. Boys and their toys. And we did. We just sat around and kind of organically just made a show happen. And we'll be putting that together. We're probably going to air it on Thursday. But please don't miss out on our brand new recovery podcast called the Came to Believe Recovery Podcast. It will be our second episode. We'll be airing on Tuesday, tomorrow. Now, listen, if you miss any of our shows, that's okay. This show airs on Monday. Came to Believe Recovery podcast, it airs on Tuesday. A special show from them will air on Thursday. Monty Man's Meditorial airs on Wednesday. I'm not going in order here. And then Walking Through the Language of the Heart airs on Friday. But if you miss any of those, all you have to do is when you go to the website, take12radio.com, just click on any of the podcasting platforms listed there, or click on the link where the player button is that says episodes, and everything's listed there. So you don't have to miss any shows just because you weren't tuning in on a specific day. Okay, the topic this week is the removal of character defects, step six and seven discussion, which we will be going to, and hopefully... the giggles will, I'll have them under control. When we come back from the break, don't go away. There we go.
Accessing this and all of our shows has never been easier. Simply visit our website at take12radio.com and subscribe to any of the podcasting platforms listed there. Take 12 Recovery Radio, the original recovery talk and positive music radio station and podcast.
Hey there, it's the Monty Man from Take 12 Recovery Radio. Have you been struggling with addictions and behaviors that seem to have you stuck and without hope? Well, here's my question. How soon do you want to get well? Well, I'd like to introduce you to Came to Believe Recovery and the amazing retreats that are designed to jumpstart your recovery by offering the chance to go through the steps that have worked for hundreds of thousands of us since they were first described over 80 years ago. This 3-day weekend retreat gives you an immersive opportunity to achieve a spiritual awakening that leads to hope and freedom. For retreat dates and locations and much more, visit CameToBelieveRecovery.org. That's CameToBelieveRecovery.org. Freedom is waiting for you. The question is, what are you waiting for?
Once I can say this is mine, you won't take it.
Yeah.
Long as I know I have love, I can make it.
Hey guys, this is Richie Supa, and you are listening to Take12Radio.com, recovery talk and positive music.
I have been on a Frank Sinatra kick lately. I don't know what's up. You know what it is, Roger. It's all Tom Williams' fault. It's Williams? Yeah, Tom. The CEO of Came to Recovery.
Came to Believe. Monty.
Came to Believe. Oh, my goodness. Came to Believe Recovery.
.org.
People aren't going to forget that. Came to Believe Recovery.org. God, what a great guy. So you know what's really cool about this new podcast, listeners, is this new podcast is partially coming to you from high atop Radio City Music Hall in New York. That's right. I'm not kidding. That is where our brand new friend and 12-stepper colleague, Mr. Tom Williams, CEO of Came to Believe Recovery, that's where his office is. And that's so cool to me. I'm just like, and now from high atop Radio City Music Hall, it's the Came to Leave Recovery Podcast. Yeah, so great stuff. So I was ready to do this show today on step six and step seven, a step six and seven discussion with you, Roger. But after the retreat, I'm taking notes going, oh, no, cross that out. That changes. I'm not doing that. Yeah, we're doing this. I mean, so I'm going to try to stay true to form to what I was originally going to do. But what a cool thing. What a cool thing to be able to go through these life-changing steps, biblical in nature. And by the way, if you're one of those people, and I've got some listeners out there, that you kind of poo-poo the 12-step movement. You say, all you need is Jesus, man. You just need one step. That's all you need is one step. All right, well, if you got trouble with the numbers next to the wording, just take the numbers away, you knucklehead. And what do you find? Biblical truth. And do the investigation, you know, before you form contempt, right? So step six, of course, is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And step seven is we humbly, on our knees, by the way, the original manuscript read, asked him to remove our shortcomings. So in one sentence, we call them character defects. In another, we call them shortcomings. Here's the truth about that. Bill Wilson, who wrote these, he was a wordsmith. We all know that. He knew that we learned by repetition, but he knew that we wouldn't listen too long if he said the exact same thing over and over again. So he used different wording to say the same thing. And if you really take some time and really chew on the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and really dig into it, you will see that the more you read it. And you'll go, wow, he just said that. He said that again. Right, Roger? Have you found that to be true? He just repeats himself over and over again. To emphasize?
Absolutely. He is a wordsmith. He really does an artful job of saying the same thing with different words to make clear the concept and the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good at
it's amazing. So character defects and shortcomings, that's his way of saying the same thing. Now, here's a real interesting point. The whole idea of shortcoming means falling short of. Falling short of what? Falling short of the intended target. What's the intended target? The intended target is what you intend to shoot for, but you fall short of. So if my intended target was to be nice to my wife this morning, and then I was Mr. Grumpy Pants, I fell short of that, right? Well, there's also an interesting term that many of you already know, and that is the term sin. Which is an archery term, which means to miss the mark or fall short of the intended target. Interesting. So Bill Wilson here is talking about a sin nature, which, by the way, you and I cannot shed. We don't have the ability, because we have a sin nature, to change that. Now, we have the ability to change our behaviors. you know, not left to our own devices, though. But we have a sin nature. We were never promised deliverance from the flesh until the dear Lord comes back to get us. But only He can remove that. Only He can remove our character defects. I don't know how many people, Roger, including myself in early recovery, thought that I was the one that had to remove my character defects. Did you ever think that way?
Sure. I mean, about everything. Didn't you think you had the power to do A, B, C when you realized without the power of God? I did not.
I did not.
I do not.
No. No.
But with Him, all things are possible.
Yes. Yes. And so we are well on our way. When we're in step six and step seven, we are well on our way in early development, if you will, in our relationship with our Creator. And so we are already tapping into His power by this point. So it's interesting. I love how Bill sneaks stuff in the big book. He doesn't always say, this is step one, this is step two, this is step three. You know, it'll get past you really fast if you're not paying attention. If you're just reading parts of the big book in a meeting and discussing, you know, paragraphs, you might miss it. There is parts where he'll say, now we are at step three, you know, that kind of thing. But he does this on page 76 of the third edition. He does this in moving from step six to seven. So let's look at step six. It says, we have emphasized willingness. And by the way, he has said this so many times prior to this, as being indispensable. So we can't go any further unless we're at least willing here. We are now ready to let God remove from us all the things we have admitted are objectionable. Where did we find things that were objectionable? We found them in our
step four.
In our fourth step, you bet. Can He now take them all? I love that question, every one, because I've heard in meetings millions of times, well, I kind of like some of my character defects, so, you know, I don't know that God's going to take them all. Have you not read this? So he asked the question because he knows we're going to do that. I love that. Can He now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. So he does in here want us to be willing to let go of all character defects. And then he stops. There's a period. Now, it doesn't say now we're at step seven, but now we're moving into step seven. It says, when ready, we say something like this, and this is known as the famous seven-step prayer. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. Now, isn't that interesting, Roger? Not just the bad, but God wants the good, too.
He wants
all of it. I pray that you now remove from me, every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Remember, folks, we are now at a place where we're not doing this recovery thing because we want the consequences to stop from our using and drinking. We're doing this because we want to be a maximum service to God and the people He puts in our life. So we don't want to do anything that is going to stand in the way of our usefulness to God and our fellow man. Grant me strength, because He knows we're going to need that, as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Then he says, we have now completed step seven. Did you find, so Roger, let me ask you, did you find when you were first doing this stuff that, wow, all these steps, they're pretty lengthy, but step six and seven, we just kind of whiz by them. Did you find that to be true?
It's sort of presented that way in the book.
It is.
You know, six is the process of getting entirely ready with willingness. And then step seven is actually asking God to remove them. So I don't see anywhere in the text, it wasn't Bill's intention that we should pause and take tons of time
belabor
to accomplish
it.
6 and 7.
Right.
I mean, basically, I think I said after your 4th and 5th step, take an hour and then get busy, or 30 minutes and get busy on step 6 and 7. So, and as we found in these came to believe workshops or retreats, you know, we can finish 8 of the steps in 72 hours and get on to 10, 11, and 12 when we walk out the door.
Yeah.
We're living in 10, 11, and 12. So I marvel at how simple the process is. That doesn't mean it's easy, but it certainly is simple.
So when I say this about moving through 6 and 7, like almost not even paying attention to them, just kind of whizzing by them, I think for me, the reason I think I did it intentionally, but not for good reason, because I didn't like the fact that all of my character, I kind of liked some of my character defects. I really did. There was something.
I think all of us do. That you hear that's a common.
Yeah.
I think all of us have pet, you know, call them whatever you like. Character defects. Bill said sin, if you will. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
I think some of us are sometimes unwilling to give up some of them because we like them until we get to the point where we realize there's no earthly reason to keep doing this.
So. It's interesting because I know this is the case with people of faith. It certainly has been with me. People of no faith as well, and everything in between. It's like, okay, I have all these things about me that are not helpful. I see that guy over there, and I think, wow, that guy's got integrity. He's intelligent. He's talented. I want to be more like him. Well, do what he does. And I don't know if I want to do what he does. But then when we do, we find out some of those things come true. But I would look at my life and I would say, okay, I want God, I want to give you all of me except this room. If we divided up Monty into as a house with many rooms, there's a couple of rooms that I don't want God in, because that means I'm going to have to not do that anymore or change direction in that anymore. And I think I'm going to step out on faith here and say this. I think for most of us, the hesitancy to give up things that are hurting us is usually in the area of relationships. And in early recovery, at least that's what I found in working with sponsees. It is like, yeah, God, you can have all of me here. You can, you know, here's the alcohol, here's the meth, here's the cocaine, here's the marijuana, a little slower on the cigarettes and the vaping maybe, you know, but here's that too. But I've been living with my girlfriend for 2 years, man. You can't be serious about me doing that, you know, going back and starting that over, right? Can you? I mean, yeah, God understands that. He understands that I'm playing house and shacking up, but he understands that my case is different. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with. That has been the biggie. You know, and then I love this. I'm going to say this and I'm going to correct myself. They get stuck in their recovery because they won't surrender at all. I love the terminology that was used at the Came to Believe Recovery Retreat this weekend. You're not stuck. You just stopped. Wow, that is so true, right? So the person that says, you can have all of me, except maybe they are giving up their relationship and living the way they know they shouldn't be. Maybe it's the marijuana there. That's a big one. You know, yeah, I really didn't come in here to give up. I just don't want to drink anymore, right? So that's one. I'm going to hold on to that, you know. I feel like I'm stuck, though. I just can't give that up. I'm stuck. No, you stopped. You stopped working a program worth depth and weight. That's what you did. Because if you continued in this as it's written, you would be convicted in your heart to let go of all of it. All of it. So... Was there anything that you were stuck on, any room in Roger that said, yeah, God, I'm a little hesitant to give that one up?
I believe, certainly for myself and others, I believe that we all have our pet character defects, that it takes more work, more commitment, more prayer, more contrary action to get over certain things, whether they be relationships with ourselves or with someone else, or whether it be some other pet character defect or sin.
Yeah.
I think we all, look, Paul said it in the Bible. He said, I do what I shouldn't do, and I don't do what I should do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Well, that's Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So apparently we're in solid
we're
company,
good company
when it comes to this issue. You know, I just, in that, and the target is remains the same. But yes, we missed the mark, and it requires lots of prayer. Lots of prayer.
Yeah.
And then taking the action. You know, it's like my sponsor used to say, you can go in your prayer closet and pray for a hot dog, but you're not getting one until you get out of the closet and go get it.
That's great.
So, and I need little simple things like that to remember. God provided the car and the means to go get the hot dog. And you can pray for it, but he's not going to deliver it to your prayer room. We laugh, but it's
very true, man. I mean,
it's a truth about everything that we are involved with in this program of being recovered. It never stops. So Came to Believe says we stopped, that's what we do.
Yes. What was the other one I loved? You're not defeated. Oh boy. You're not defeated. You're distracted. You know, I thought, wow, man, that hit it, because I have felt like I've been totally defeated before in all sorts of things. I mean, maybe it was working with a sponsee and the guy didn't get it. And he ended up, you know, in the morgue. Just felt defeated, man. You know,
well, the concept of defeated as opposed to surrendered is one that requires, I think, some conversation.
Mm.
Because when you surrender, are you defeated? No.
No.
You're actually going to a powder grinder in yourself, and you're surrendering to God and asking for his will to operate in our lives. That's not defeated.
No.
So, and I'll speak for myself. Distractions are a constant problem.
I agree.
So I don't believe that we're defeated.
No.
I believe that we're on the course of absolutely winning, and we do that one moment at a time.
And I didn't know the difference, though, at one time. And so I remember the first time a sponsee fired me. Oh, God, my ego and my little heart was just, you know, what did I do wrong? Oh, my gosh. And I went to my sponsor. And go, oh, my gosh. Well, how do I get this guy back? And he goes, maybe you can't. You know, and I didn't realize at the time I was learning about emotional sobriety because I had become dependent on my sponsee being dependent on me. When the whole time I should have been teaching him to be dependent upon God. Well, he was dependent on me, and then when I let him down, he fired me. Well, okay.
I don't blame him. I would have fired you too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because, and I tell this story all the time, but when I got ready to do my fifth step with my sponsor, I called him up, and you've heard the story about, you know, I made my fourth step was in a binder, and there was graphs and cartoons, and it was beautiful. The pages were laminated.
Calligraphy.
I went down to Staples and laminated my fourth step. Seriously.
That's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Insane.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful publication. And Doug knew, his name was Doug. Doug knew what I was up to. He knew what I was up to. And he just kind of sat back and watched, you know. And then when I got ready to do my fifth step, he wouldn't answer the phone. And I'm like, why this guy? Because he lived about 14 miles away. I'm like, why isn't this guy answering my phone messages? And finally I ran into him. I said, what's up with this? And he goes, you've become sponsor dependent and you need to be God dependent.
Boom.
Wow. And he says, I'm not going to hear your fifth step. And I'm like, what? You know, and I ended up doing my fifth step with a drunk and who helped save my life. You know, but that's what happened. I just, boy, talk about distracted. My ego, and so my sponsor really taught me a valuable lesson about, hey, if you're doing the steps like this, you know, if you're dressing to, I dress to impress, if that's what you're doing, you're doing it wrong, man. So is there a wrong way to do this? Absolutely. But I felt defeated. But what it actually was when my first sponsor fired me, I was distracted. I was distracted by everything I was doing backwards, you know, and it was okay. And my sponsor said, it's okay. You learn, you grow, keep moving forward. That's why they're called steps, not sits, not rests.
Yeah, I frequently learn by falling short. You know what I mean? When I,
yeah.
The idea is not to repeat your mistakes, but learn from them. And I'm a guy that learns by failing. And there's a concept, if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. Because it's not about failing. It's about getting up and continuing on.
Amen. Amen.
It's about finishing the race. That's what we do. So and the whole thing about, being distracted, I'm easily distracted. Easily distracted.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You know, in this seven-step prayer, when ready, we say something like this. My creator. It doesn't say the inanimate object in the room. It doesn't say a room full of people that are powerless. It doesn't say my concept of some sort of universal truth. It says my creator. My creator. That's what it says. And I think that is vital, because I think so many people want to dance around this whole higher power thing. And brother, I said this in a meeting recently, and I got some looks, but I'm not going to apologize for it. I am done dancing around that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to share.
Go ahead. It's in the book, Monty.
Yeah.
It's in the book. Why do people, if you don't want to read the textbook of recovery, and follow precisely what we did to be recovered, then why are we having this discussion? It's absolutely the textbook.
Yep.
It's the instructions. I don't know why we argue over things that are irrelevant.
Yeah, I don't get it. You can disagree with what it says, but you can't say it doesn't say that.
Yeah, but disagree with the textbook that you claim to be a part of. And
well, that's what makes no sense.
Exactly.
That's what makes absolutely no sense.
Show me another place in the world, at work or any other place, where that is the case.
Right.
Humankind is simply not willing to surrender to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
We either are or we aren't.
And, you know, and Bill constantly over and over again says, willingness. And if you're not willing, you know, ask God to help you be willing. It's interesting. It doesn't say ask your sponsor to help you be willing.
It doesn't say any of those things in the book anywhere, inanimate objects. It doesn't say any of that anywhere in the book.
No.
And it says that the essential ingredients in our program is open-mindedness, willingness, right?
Yeah.
And rigorous honesty. Those three concepts are glassed over by people who refuse to read and do the text.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means I'm not willing.
You bet.
And or I'm not honest. And or I'm not open-minded.
It's sad. Because I watch people work really, really, really hard because they're doing it on their own strength, on trying to move through these steps. And then I see other people who have surrendered to God, and It isn't hard.
It's night and yeah.
It's night and day. Absolutely, yeah. Night and day. You know, my buddy Chris S. always says, when people say, "Well, you know, the steps didn't work," I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. You know, have you conceded in your innermost self that you were powerless over what it was that was killing you? Mostly." have you developed?
That's a politically correct way of saying no.
That means no. Yeah. Have you developed some disciplines in the area of prayer and meditation? Well, sometimes I talk to God. Do you believe in the Creator? Well, I believe in a higher power. Okay, so that's no. Do you on a regular basis serve others in some way that is unselfish? I help my buddy move his couch. Then you're supposed to drink. That's what Chris says. Then you're supposed to use. You're supposed to.
Right. Right.
So don't become an amigo on why did I do this? I'll tell you exactly why. Because you're not following a few simple directions. Yeah. Yeah. But all is not lost. Right?
No.
You should have seen. Watching the light come on in the eyes of these guys at this homeless shelter this weekend was watching really close because I wanted to get a good feel of how these people were going to respond to this workshop, and because I'm going to get another experience on a kind of a different level with people that actually are paying to go to a retreat, and it just. It broke my heart, not in a bad way, in a good way. I mean, I was moved. I was touched. I was watching these guys. And, you know what? This one guy came up to me, and he goes, are you the Monty Man? And I went, yeah. He goes, I know you. I listen to your show. And I went, do you live here? He goes, no, I live on the street. I go, how do you listen to the show? And he goes, I have this, and he had a phone, and it's the only piece of property he has, right? And so This weekend, he has a phone, and he has this. He has the workbook on how to walk through these steps in 3 days. And that was one of the guys that stuck it out, and he was in tears at the end. And I think he even spoke up and gave a little testimonial at the end, too.
I send my love and prayers to that man. God bless him.
Man, I wish I could remember his name.
God wants to use him in a mighty way for his peers and his fellow homeless folks on the street.
Yeah. And you know what? I kept looking at this guy. This was before he ever said anything to me. I thought, man, that guy looks familiar. He just looks so familiar to me. And I came to the conclusion, and I may be wrong, but I think what I saw is I think I saw the Lord in him. And that's what was familiar. Because I couldn't place him any other way, you know. And then he was so tender and just so kind. Oh, and he said something. One of the presenters said something, asked the question, and he said, "You call your sponsor. That's what you do." And they were like, "Yeah," you know what I mean. And so he was willing to interject. He didn't interject often, but when he did, he was right on the money. Watching people's lights come on. Watching people that are willing to have God remove the things that are hurting them, who are not just ready to have that happen because they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, but are willing to have that happen. They are just done. They are at the end of themselves. What a beautiful place to be.
It's a gift.
Man.
I think it's the greatest gift of being in the program, living the program, and trying to help someone somewhere learn about this way of life and watch God change them and then watch what they do. It's absolutely miraculous.
It is. It is. I want to give a plug for... are you there? There you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
I want to give a plug for tomorrow's show, the Came to Believe Recovery Podcast. The topic is going to be powerlessness and unmanageability. So you may think you have heard everything there is about powerlessness or unmanageability, I challenge you to tune in to tomorrow's show. You may be surprised. These guys have surprised me, I'll tell you that. It's such a cool thing, and I'm so glad that we partnered with them, brother. I really, really am.
Me too.
Closing thoughts before we play a very powerful song. Closing thoughts on 6 and 7 there, Roger.
Excuse me. Well, 6 is like it says, entirely ready, and 7 is taking the action.
Ooh.
And when we do that, God does precisely what he said he would do, and that's remove and help us to overcome powerlessness and these character defects that are a result of self-will.
Yeah.
So we seek his will and not ours. And it's not rocket science, but it requires rigorous honesty, humility, open-mindedness and willingness, and then follow up and keep doing. Pray about everything and worry about nothing.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that. All right. Good show, my brother. Thank you so much. Our closing song, and I searched high and low for this, and it's out there, but this particular artist is the one I wanted to hear it from, and I found it. This is C.C. Winans singing The Goodness of God.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Goodness of God.
Your
goodness of God, C.C. Winans. Listeners, when I think of the horrible places that I drug myself through all those years in active addiction, and Jesus was with me the whole time, my Lord, my Savior, and my God stood by me on the mountaintops and in the mud, in the ditches and on the rivers of disobedience. Oh, my gosh. The times when I don't even remember pulling the needle out or putting the bottle down, and he was there with me the whole time. How about you? Are you trying to get rid of your character defects? Are you working on them instead of letting God do it? It's a futile chore. I encourage you, turn your will, your life over to him who not only loves you, but likes you. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, along with the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
This has been a broadcast of Take 12 Recovery Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
Yeah, kitty, 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 kitty.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.